Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the 1,143rd episode on Purpose Kingdom Network. This is Let's Talk About It. Lady, are you out there with me?
Amen.
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Tonight, what we would like to do is, first, we'd like to introduce ourselves. I, myself, am Adrian Misunderstandings Allen. Mima.
Me, Mom, Janice Hudson.
And Chad.
Hey, everybody. It's Chad Toy Daily.
And if you are out there and you're listening for the first time, this is the first time on the kingdom, welcome to the kingdom. If it's not and you know that this is where we change lives and this is how things have been happening and we want to continue to happen, then pull up a seat, get your notebook, get whatever it is you need, and then text your friends and tell the people to tell their people to tell their people and their other people and their kids so that their kids and their people can start to hear it too. And before you know it, everybody will be talking about what we talk about. And then we'll be able to go a little further. Now, definitely in this week of where we're at in the world, got me? So if you're out there and you're listening tonight, it is for you to be on this call. If you need to join in live, ask for prayer, or touch and agree, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. That's 319-527-6091. Or 323-870-4174. Again, that's 323-870-4174. Now, that's to get on us live. Now, if you check out some of the archives, even if you get one of those beautiful text messages that come from like Chappie or something with all of the graphics and stuff, you'll see your www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. That is where the rest of us are. That's where the archives are. 1,142 of them, to be exact, as of before this show. So before we go any further into it, you know, we like to settle the atmosphere, sit him down, because we know we have the authority over a lot of things that happen. As a matter of fact, we have authority over most of the things that happen. So, without further ado, let's just tell the enemy, because he's raring right now, and a lot of people think he's already won, but we're here tonight for Let's Talk About It for a reason, and the main reason is because we want to talk about actually what is COVID-19 and what are we supposed to do with it, and how, as we as the body, we as the believer, what should we be doing in this moment? Sister Janice?
Protecting ourselves and praying.
How about you lead us in prayer?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, I come to you, Lord, as almost I know how. Asking you, Lord, please protect us in these times right now, Lord Jesus. You said, "What as one or two together, assemble ourselves, Lord." Lord, please, I come to you, Father, as humble as I know how, asking you, Lord, just let every voice that hears this and every ear that hears this show tonight, Lord Jesus, let them take heed to the message that's going out on the airways, Lord Jesus. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that you're the Alpha Omega, beginning and end, Lord Jesus. And let them prepare themselves, Lord Jesus, and get ready for your coming, Lord Jesus. Whatever we're going through right now, Lord Jesus, I know that you said for us to prepare ourselves. And, Lord Jesus, right now, let the people take heed to your word. And it's in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, that I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for that because, amen. And it's serious because there's a lot going on. And when you look at it, you see the that there's a panic in it. And unfortunately, what happens is I watch a lot of TV shows, but I watch the TV shows that follow your behavior and stuff. So if there's a situation that's going on, they wait to the last drier minute to say something to the people because they know that there will be something on set called panic. And then the panic really doesn't look like what it is, but panic is more manic than anything, you know? So I know that Chappie was, if y'all got a chance to listen last night, the only thing you should say is hashtag, where is the toilet paper? That's it. So what I would like Chappie to do tonight is somebody actually responded to her yesterday in all of her inquisitive nature of her toilet paper. So Chappie, can you read them the response of why we are in the type of panic and manic that we're going through and we haven't really even seen? Chat, are you there?
Okay, I'm here. okay. Well, since the start of them announcing COVID-19 and the spread of this disease and everything, every now and then you would hear them say something about some toilet paper. And then as it became more serious and they announced that it was it had switched from being an epidemic to a pandemic, everybody was running out to the stores and they was buying up all of the toilet paper. And I literally started, I just needed to know. I asked the question, I'm sorry, did something go out that I missed that somehow or another tied COVID-19 and toilet paper to one another that everybody was rushing out to get this toilet paper? And what I found out was that the toilet paper was a part of a greater scheme to keep us in our panic mode safe and from going into a panic that would have caused a greater panic. But nonetheless, it was a scheme to keep us under control in our panic. And the name of this scheme was Operation Mockingbird. So I'm just going to read to you what was sent to me. It says, why toilet paper? How do you get the public to run to the store to stock up on supplies before a quarantine? Use Operation Mockingbird, but for good purpose. The media starts reporting before the fact that stores are selling out of toilet paper. This creates a self-fulfilling prophecy. People run to the stores to stock up on toilet paper without even realizing why they need it. Meanwhile, they also stock up on other food and water and other supplies. Now they are prepared for what is coming without even knowing they did it. Why toilet paper? If the media had reported that they were running out of canned foods or dry goods, bottled waters even, people would have rushed to the store to stock up on these specific survival items until they were all sold out, leaving others without those things for the quarantine. So they picked something benign like toilet paper so that people would buy out something non-critical while stocking on the assortment of other goods. Stores are out of toilet paper, bleach, and maybe handy wipes, but they are not out of food. Went to the store the other day and saw customer after customer with canned foods, dried goods, and some bottled waters in their buggies. No one was hoarding these items. Some bought chips, some bought hamburger helper. Each person brought what they needed to stock up on, even though the store was sold out of toilet paper. The plan worked. So in the midst of it, what it was knowing that there was a quarantine coming and trying to get us to stock up and be prepared for this quarantine that came to control our panic, they made us believe that toilet paper was going to run out. And we all ran out like good little puppets, and we bought up all the toilet paper. In them doing that, however, we did not go through all of the food and that was in the store. So whereas right now stores are trying to get toilet paper to restock their shelves, the one thing that people can go into the stores and purchase right now in the midst of everything is food. So I wanted to know why toilet paper. Now we know why toilet paper. Although it opens the door for a greater discussion that we'll have at a later date, I can honestly say, well, let's talk about it. And I want to say a special shout out to Sakina, the bird lady, Miss Bird, because I found out that she was the one that forwarded the text to me. The text was actually posted anonymous, so I don't know who to give that great thank to. But again, I did at least get the answer to what was going on with the toilet paper, and now you have the answer also. Ladies.
Smoke and mirrors.
All the time.
All the time.
But we bless God. Like I said, it could have been worse.
Amen.
What if we went into the supermarkets and instead of seeing that just the section where the toilet paper was empty, we saw that all of the food was gone. There was no more milk. There was no more bread. There was no more dry goods or canned goods. You know what I mean? It would be so much worse right now
with
what's going on when, to be honest, all everybody doing right now is they're going, well, dang, when y'all going to get some more toilet paper? So, in the grand
that's
scheme,
if they're even paying attention, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
That's if they're even paying attention. Yeah. Some people think they can still walk down and get the they're going to realize when the poppy stores and stuff, the corner stores ain't going to be open tomorrow. They're going to be trying to figure out what happened. Everybody is. But we gotta listen and watch. You're right, y'all. Listen, that's why I said I wasn't going to say nothing because you know how I feel about it. If they got us tricked up to run to go get some toilet paper, then that means that they know they know the inevitable. We've been trying to say it forever. But some of us got a lot of cleaning up to do.
And
you
got
to have your own tissue.
Sometimes you got to bring your own tissue.
Yes. Here's the thing. The mayor of Philadelphia spoke today, as well as the governor, and they also had a news briefing this afternoon from WHO, the World Health Organization. And basically everyone was saying the same thing, give or take, depending on which organizational stance you were coming from. One was talking about worldwide, one was talking about the state of Pennsylvania, one was talking about the city of Philadelphia, and I'm more than sure that other governors and mayors all around, and as well as other leaders worldwide, because this is something that has taken place worldwide, were giving out different instructions and updates and things of that nature, letting everyone know what's going on with this actual epidemic, pandemic, outbreak, pestilence, whatever you want to call it today. But they were giving some information out. And one of the things for the city of Philadelphia, this is only for the city of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, because there are other city of Philadelphia in the United States. I'm only talking about city of Philadelphia for Pennsylvania. The mayor is saying that as everything was being shut down, that there are essentials that have to stay open. So, like, we don't have to go into a panic that grocery stores and even the corner stores, they're not closing down. They are considered essentials. Daycare operations are considered essentials, so they're not closing down, along with pharmacies, laundromats, scepter's going to continue running. They changed, I guess they heard last night's ministry, because they changed how they're going to do the lunch program. Whereas before they were saying they wanted the children to come and eat there. As of yesterday, as of this morning, they said, come and we're going to give you 3 days' worth of food for you to take back to your house for your children. So it, you have to stay listening to the news. You have to stay alert and pay attention to what's going on. But what you cannot do is allow that spirit of fear to set in and take control.
Amen. Amen.
I like how you said it, because you allow that to happen, because it's all about the way you look at things. It's all about the way you see it. Because if you hear what the people are trying to give you about the COVID-19, if you hear what they're saying, it seems almost scary, but it's not real scary at all. Because when I hear all of the things that are stopping and what they can't do anymore and what we're not allowed to do because of this virus, I realize that the virus ain't hurting nobody. The virus is hurting the people that are above and beyond, extravagant for everything, need to do, you know what I mean? You got to go big. Everything's got to be great and grandiose. No, it's time for them to sit down. Listen, I'm trying to tell you, they said you can't have more than 150 people. So that means if you got a mega church, your mega church just got shut down. I'm sorry. We need to go back to the small things, go back to the core. Let's build it up. Listen, you know how when you're trying to pull weeds up, you got to go all the way down to the root and cut them out? You can't just pull them. You know what I mean? And that's listen to the sounds of what the people are saying, because the COVID-19 is just, like Chappie said, it's just another one. And another one.
Another thing that I want to say is, because the other day we were talking just amongst ourselves in general about how they were saying that, you know, you couldn't have a gathering. First they said more than 250 people, then they dropped it down to 100. Well, as of today, they don't want more than 10 people gathered together at one location. So, you know, I'm listening to everything that's going on, and when they got to no more than 10 people gathered together, I know some folk that's really large families,
Your family is considered a unit when they say 10, because if they look at it and say, like, if you got 6, 7, 8 people in your household, if one of you got it, y'all all got it. So That's why they say it like that.
I understand that, but you know me, even with the seriousness of everything, I try to find some way to find some type of a chuckle in it. And I just had to think, you know, if that's the case, there's some families that would have to really be concerned, because it's more than 10 of them under one roof. I'm saying it that way to say that, you know, for some of it, it's all about using the precautions they said, which was wash your hands. Like with everything, wash your hands. And maybe this will help get us to a healthier lifestyle of living, because one of the things that I realized that people really don't do as much as they should is wash their hands.
They don't. I mean, I don't walk in many public bathrooms and in the stall, and you hear somebody come out the stall and just keep it moving.
And never hear the water running.
Never hear the water running.
Oh, no, I call them back. Ew! You know you didn't wash your hands?
Jesus.
And if you don't, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to tell everybody, you know she didn't wash her hands. She did not wash her hands. This is the lady right here. Trifling. Walking around all better than everybody else. Walk straight up out the bathroom. Never even turned the damn water on.
For some, so where I'm at is, you know, sometimes in life we have to go through some things to make us do some things. And one of the things that we have gotten away from is some of the basic hygiene. And again, I'm not talking about getting up in the morning and going out throughout your day, but I'm talking about some of the basic continual hygiene that we should have. And that's washing your hands when you come in the door, washing your hands before you eat, washing your hands after you use the restroom. Well, for some cultures, they wash their hands before they use the restroom. I don't, you know, that's their culture. What I'm getting back to is at some point we need to get back to just washing our hands.
Yeah, good hygiene.
I remember growing up being sent before dinner to wash my hands and my face because I've been outside playing all day. How many people are still making children go wash their hands and face up before they come sit down and eat dinner?
You got to wash your hands before you go in the refrigerator. So you got to wash your hands right when you walk in the door.
That's right. That's right.
You can't open the refrigerator.
You know, I can remember, I'm a driver, so I'm driving all the time. So just this one day, my car was down, so I had to take the children to the dentist, and we rode that L train. And by the time I got to the dentist and got back home with the children, my hands felt so sticky. I'm like, oh my goodness, what are my hands so sticky from? So I went to go wash my hands. When I washed my hands, I tell you, it was like I had a ton of dirt in my hands. And I'm just like grabbing all three of the girls. Let's go get in here. Because if I touch those railings or a door, a subway door or a railing, going down the subway or getting up on the L, you know, then I know as dirty as my hands are, your hands are just as dirty. And I had one kid that sucks her thumb. Boy, that kid got sick that week, and I'm trying to figure out, well, what did she eat? What did, you know? And then I remember that this kid was on the L. You know, we rode the subway. We were on public transportation. And,
but
you know, thank God.
They're not shutting down Sethers and stuff, though, right? I'm sorry
no,
to cut you off.
During the conference, they said they were not shutting down Sethers. They do have concerns because of the close capacity of Sethers. And to go with what Sister Janice is saying, because of how germy and nasty it can be on Sethers. One of the things is that we shouldn't be in too close proximity of others, but Sethers is an essential. If you don't have a car and you have to go to get to work, you're on Sethers. If you need to get
but
to a doctor, you're on Sethers.
They just alleviated people that go to work, and that's the thing. There's a lot of people that just get on the bus to get up and go to work. You understand?
Yeah, but that's great.
They stopped the work. Look, they stopped the working so that people would stop moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, in order for us to actually stop moving, we actually have to stop.
But understand that what they're realizing or what they have realized, I'm not going to say realizing, is that everyone cannot stop moving. Some people have to continue moving. Although they're shutting down the government, although they're shutting down the government, they're sending non-essential government workers home. So, in other words, in order for the city to keep functioning while we're in this quarantine, there are a group of folk that still have to get up and get out there to work. And some of those groups of folk have small children. That's why daycares are still open. Some of them don't have cars. That's why transportation is still running. So in the midst of all of it, we have to remember that it's there, it's functioning, and not give, again, to the agenda of fear, to the agenda of the spirit of fear. We cannot let it take hold. Again, I'm not saying don't be precautious. I'm saying don't become fearful. God did not give us the spirit of fear. So we cannot let the false evidence that we see appearing real become real.
That's it. But remember, we live in a society where that is what we've been doing. And it's funny that it's happening now because it's actually bringing all of the entertainment that we used to watch as the entertainment, you know, like these movies. Like now all of our movies, they have already been playing over, but now they're like real life movies. Now half of the people that are adults, they might even remember some of them. Like that's how close we are getting. These are movies. Like not movies, but you know how they say everybody's going to be accountable. So if they tell you, they can't be held responsible. However, the way they tell you is different. So if you can't read the meaning, then you missed it. But they put it out there, and it's there.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the stuff that we're seeing right now.
They're putting stuff out there, and you know, someone had sent this to me before, and then one of PK and Host just sent it to me again. I am going to read this to everyone so that we can see that we have survived some stuff before. And when I say we, I'm not saying that everyone survived them, but as a human race, as a creation, we have survived some stuff before. So I don't want everyone to go crazy and become fearful and make this pandemic cause them to panic in the midst of it. In 2000, Y2K is going to kill us all. Y'all know, remember 1999, we thought that the computers was just going to shut down, wasn't nothing going to work. 2001, anthrax is going to kill us all. 2002, West Nile virus is going to kill us all. 2003, SARS is going to kill us all. 2005, bird flu is going to kill us all. 2006, E. coli is going to kill us all. 2008, this bad economy is going to kill us all. 2009, swine flu is going to kill us all. 2010, remember when they was having all them oil spills? Oil is going to kill us all. 2012, the Mayan calendar says we're all going to die. It's going to kill us all. 2013, North Korea is going to kill us all. 2014, Ebola virus is going to kill us all. 2015, the measles and ISIS was going to take us all out. In 2016, it was the Zika virus, and now in 2020, Corona is going to kill us all. What is going to kill us all is fear.
It's fear. Amen.
Again, I'm not saying don't be wise. I'm not saying don't be use the precautions. Don't have wisdom. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is don't be fearful. We have got to get a grip on this fear.
Gotcha. Got to. There's nothing to fear but fear, so.
That's it.
And then once you're scared, that's it, because you look at things different. That's what's going on right now. That's what's going on right now, because at the end of the day, if we as the people were, I don't want to say like on the right path, because we're always on the right path, but let's say, you know, I'm big on the rainbow. Y'all know I'm big on the rainbow. So the same way, like, I be like, all right, the rainbow, that was essential in our lives. You know what I mean? That was the Abrahamic covenant. Like, that was the seal in the sky for all of us. There's a lot of children of Abraham, right? So it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your breath, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter who, like, your nationality or anything. However, if you know what I mean, we can all gang, we can not gang up, but we need to all stand up as a one.
Amen.
And then we'd be able to say something that makes sense. Because right now, like right now, it doesn't even make sense to the point where the examples are not good enough because you, like if you got a bad track record already, like tell the truth, shame the devil, you know,
yeah.
people in church judge you, but the people outside see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
the people in the church, they judge you. They might even be wrong about you, but that's in the church. But the people
that's
on the street, they know you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know you right now in this situation, when they come across you, you should be the one letting them know what this looks like. And let them know. You might not be that close to it. And guess what? I've been showing my cousins where it's at. I've been giving them different stuff. Like, they like, what? I'm like, no, for real. But
right.
You know how
Amen.
We do. Look, you know how we do about Bible stories anyway, because you know.
Right.
You know, it was Carol. She was in the daggone yard minding her own business. But you know, she looked good. She had little sexy stuff, you know. He just strolled on in there and seen her and just said, oh, God. You know what I mean? It was like a horrible porno. If you think about it, you know, just, oh, man, it was just like, oh, Jesus. And then I can see, you know, it was just like, wait, that was wrong. Oh, God, no. What just happened? Oh, that was your homie. Wait, he was your number one. Oh, that's grimy. You understand? People be all over it. Child, let's talk about going and get David and Bathsheba. You better go ahead. Hello?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, and
I'm just saying,
we now you know when fear comes in at the worst time is like you have a lot of. Mental disabled people out here, you know, and when and that's one of the main things with the mental, you know, a lot of people that's out here, you have people that's schizophrenic, bipolar, you know, and with that alone, that's fear, you know, so you got all this stuff going on with this here virus right here, so what do you do? You know, what do you do besides teach them or try to get them to understand, you know, that is only in your head, you know?
You pray.
Just pray. Well, you know, I know that for a fact, Pastor, you know, but what about the people that don't? So how do we, you know, even though we're praying for them, teach them to pray.
For those people that don't, I'm going to share something with you. There's
one
something that you'll be able to get their hand and you can pray with them. Then you have mm-hmm. the times when you just pray for them. But it's something mm-hmm. my uncle, Pastor J.P. Bullock, taught me when I was a young girl. He said, when you're in a situation that you cannot tell the person about God, tell God mm-hmm. about the person.
Amen.
See, when we get to praying for others, we tend to pray for others either when something is really, really jacked up or
mm-hmm.
like when they call you or they done something to us and we want God to get them. You know, we want God to get them back for hurting us. Then we'll pray for others. But there's got to be a time, or we'll pray for others who we know are saved, who we know are going to receive it. But there got to be times when you pray for the person that ain't going to receive it. Because at the end of the day, who praying for them? See,
man.
For me, sometimes my greatest joy is when I know that I'm going into prayer for somebody that don't know that I'm praying for
yeah.
them, that wouldn't be able
yeah.
to receive the prayer if I was to pray for them, and I begin to see the move of God take place in their life. That's when I feel like, ha-ha, devil, I got your punk behind now.
That's when
I get excited. Not when it's somebody to be like, oh, come on, touch and agree with me, and let's have prayer, and then God moves. And they be like, see, Pastor, you did it. No, number one, I didn't do nothing. God did it. I just touched and agree, and he stayed true to his word, because he said in his word, where two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing in my name, then I'll be in the midst. So he stayed true to his word. Then he said, whatever you ask in Jesus' name shall be done unto you, but you have to have solid faith in whatever you ask for in Jesus' name. So he stayed true to his word. When I get excited is, I can't even say it the way I want to, but somebody that I know practices something that goes against everything that has to do with God. And when I found out about it, I sort of got excited. And somebody said, why are you so excited? I said, because now I get to pray about them. Now I get to go tell God about them and ask God to begin to save them and ask God to begin to heal with them and ask God to begin to cure their mind and ask God to begin to break the shackles of bondage on their life. And I can sit back and they don't have to know I'm praying. It's called a sneak attack.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sometimes we going through so much hell in life because we bragging about everything we doing. Sometimes you need to learn how to do a sneak attack. When my children were younger and I was cooking dinner and they was getting on my nerves because they thought they was doing everything they was big and bad enough to do, I would always fry chicken for them when I was that upset with their behavior. They never understood why I fried chicken, because you can fry chicken in anointing oil just like you can in Crisco oil. So I would fry the chicken in anointing oil and be praying the entire time I'm cooking, and they didn't even know. They'd be like, man, this chicken is so crispy, it's so crunchy, it's so good. And I'm just sitting there saying, God, just do your thing, work on the inside. They don't. And then I would watch God begin to move, and they come talking to me about how they think they did something, and I'm sitting there going, get them, God, just yes, go, God, show them how you working it. Yes, God. See, no, y'all got to learn how to do a sneak attack. Y'all got to learn how to sneak up on it. Even with COVID, everybody sitting there call, oh, my God, I just don't know what we're going to do and how we're going to pay the bills and what's going to happen, and I don't know, and I don't know. No, what you need to be doing is calling your girlfriend up. Well, girl, you ready? Come on, let's pray. Let's make the enemy mad. Let's see what's going to happen today. Come on, let's go into prayer about this.
Amen.
And
that's
I really believe that's what it's going to take. Yep. It's funny because COVID 3 weeks ago wasn't really COVID. We were worried about the election. Okay?
That's right. That's right.
So what I'm fearful of, if there is no such, you know, not to say I'm fearful, but what I like to say is, this is what we should be watching out for.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens when the smoke clears, that's what happens. That's what happens.
That's right.
Because this is a complete distraction off of where we were. Harvey Weinstein was trying to get out of jail because he didn't want to go to jail because he caught himself being sick. Like everybody else, like there's no jail and there's no prison infirmaries. Got me? These are all the things that were happening before we got sick. You understand what I'm saying? When you look at it and then you ask yourself the question and you say, well, dang, we were actually on our way to a different type of life and looking at life back again because we saw Kobe Bryant You know what I mean? We just drastically just lost Kobe Bryant. Like, he was the savior of somebody or something. But, you know, God rest his soul. But the way that we treated it, you know, the world was in purple. The world was in gold. Right. Like, we were in love with God again. Like, we were just here. We were always in this oneness. Everything was together. It's great. Because we need each other to survive. And this is the truth. So we need to understand that we were very close to the truth because, you know, it was changing in our commercials. We weren't seeing the dumb stuff anymore. The homosexual stuff and everything is not really there. It's there, but they try to do it on the shy bugs, so we had to do that one day, too. Look, that got to be one day, too. But it's like, you got to pay attention to everything because... Like I said, this COVID thing, the way they're doing the COVID, and then they're making it not just a disease, but they're making it a disease for 65 and older. You know what I mean? Or 55 and older. Like, now you're gonna put.
That's right. It's basically like before the destruction.
Right. And and that's why at this time, as Toy would say, this is the time to get excited. In my thing, that's how I look at it. This is the comeback. This is the get back. This is the get back off of them. Because one thing I heard today that was like so, oh, my God, I can't go shopping. We can't go here. We're not going to be able to go to the movies. Like, what are we going to do? I'm sitting there like, I'm so glad that they got some type of a virus going on in there. You need to go home and read a book. You want to go to the movies that bad.
You know what's funny? Sometimes when we look at things, you know, you always hear me say that it's our perspective. And the last big thing that everybody was getting upset about was Donald Trump was about to send our babies off to get caught up in some drama because he had killed somebody, and we was worried about what the retaliation was going to be and this, that, and the other. And, you know, everybody that was praying that God wouldn't let our babies go to war, well, guess what? Your prayers have been answered. You just didn't know it was going to be answered. I'm saying that to say that in the midst of it all, we just got to pray.
We got to pray.
We got to look at it sort of like Elijah and his servant or his student that worked with them when they were on the mountain. And Elijah had sent him out to get some water or something. And as he was going to go get the water, he got up and he saw the enemy had surrounded them on the mountain. And he went and got Elijah, and I believe you can read about it. And I want to say 2 Kings. I might be wrong, but I think it's 2 Kings. If I'm wrong, I'll put the exact location up on our Facebook page. But he went and got Elijah, and he was like, yo, master, our enemies, they got us surrounded. What are we going to do? And Elijah came out and saw him, and he smiled and like, yo, go get me some water. And the guy was like, what? The enemy is also around us. What are we going to do? And Elijah's sort of like, yeah, I see him. Yeah, can you go get the water? And he said it again, and finally Elijah's like, okay, God, open this man's eyes so that he can see what I see, so he can stop freaking out. And now I'm paraphrasing because I want to say it the way I would say it, and just go get us the water we need. So when God, when Elijah prayed this prayer, his servant's eyes opened up, and although he still saw the army from the enemy surrounding them on the mountain, what he now saw was the host of chariots in God's army, his spiritual army that had surrounded the mountain, and it was in between the mountain and the enemy. So even though the enemy was approaching, the enemy could do no harm because God had already set up a barrier of you can't get past this, and anybody come near this, y'all got to go through me. Why is that important for us today? We're going to look at it like this. The enemy that's coming around the mountain, we're going to call the mountain life. We up on the mountain. The enemy that's coming after us, we're going to call it COVID-19. But what I want you to see is what I see. I want you to see the host of angels, God's fighting army that he has placed around the mountain, that if they come so far towards God's people, something is going to happen, and it's not going to be your destruction. Now, see, wait a minute, because somebody say, here go them preachers and them spiritual and them believers again talking about it's not serious. That's not what I'm saying. COVID-19 is serious. Is serious enough that they don't quarantine just about the entire world. It is serious. What I am saying, though, is that I know somebody that is greater than COVID-19. And if you dare to put your trust in him, if you dare to put your trust on him, if you dare to place your faith in him like you all placed your faith in going out to get that toilet paper, he will do a mighty in your life, even amongst COVID-19. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Let's not look at this and panic. Let's look at this and begin to praise God.
Amen.
Because he said he inhabits the praises of his people. When the blessings, when the praises go up, the blessings fall down. Your raise out of this situation is going to come in your praise. Praise God for those who have survived it. Praise God for those who have been healed in it. Praise God for those who are putting their life on the line every day to go help other people deal with the sickness. Praise God for allowing you to still have life in your breath and in your lungs so that you can stand in the land of the living and declare that there is still a God sitting on the throne. Just begin to praise God. Praise God in the midst of it all. Praise God that he has not allowed it to fall upon you. You're not bragging about it. You praising him for it. Just begin to praise God. Praise God for the souls that are going to be saved even in the midst of these tragedies. Begin to praise God. Praise God, because although you don't see it right now, when this is done, you will see the hind part of God moving past, and you need to praise God. Yes. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, God.
Thank you,
and if you're out there and you do not have your own personal relationship, so that you can actually be able to feel exactly that moment of where we are right now, we invite you to come and join the kingdom. And it's real simple to do. You just ask God to come into your life, help you out, cleanse you, change your mind, get you on the right path, and help you start saving the world. So
yes.
I think we do have a caller on the line, but I want Chappie, I want you to do the call, but you up the mountain, because we can just throw them up there because they need to be up there anyway. If they were with
the
you,
call
they're
is
up
real
there.
Simple. The call is simple. It is nothing deep. It's about believing God on his word. That's it. Believing him on his word and accepting the gift that he gave you, which is his son, Jesus Christ. Okay, somebody said, well, there was no J's. I don't care if you call them Yahshua, Isa, Jesus. We're talking about the word made flesh, the God-man, the word that tabernacled amongst us. It's not hard. It's not difficult. All it takes is for you to believe. You don't have to bow down, figure it out. And when I mean bow down trying to figure out which way you supposed to look to see to make sure it's being heard. You ain't got it. Everything that you think you would have to do, every law that was ever written for you to follow to be able to have access into the holies of holies and come into the presence of God, Jesus, God, in the form of Jesus, fulfilled it for you through the blood that he shed on Calvary. Why did I say God through Jesus performed it for you? Look in the book of John. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Then if you jump down into the 14th verse of that same chapter, it says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, or dwelt amongst us. So he did it for us. All we have to do is receive it, and we receive it by faith through belief. And we show that we believe it by a simple prayer. We just say, Father God, I come to you this evening a mess. I've messed up so many times, but I bring my mess to you. I ask for the gift of your son, Jesus. I ask him to come into my life. I ask him to forgive me of my mess and turn my mess into his message in the name of Jesus. And if you said that prayer, seal it with the amen. It is so. That's what amen means for those who don't know. When you seal a prayer with amen, you're actually saying it is so. Amen. By faith, it is so. And once you've said that prayer, just tell somebody. You don't have to wait until, well, it's funny because if you was to wait till Sunday, they're not letting churches come together anyway. But just tell somebody. Call somebody on the phone. Let somebody know in your house. Go outside, scream at the top of your lungs, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then depending on where you're at around the world, you should probably get back in because they got that curfew going on. And according to God's word, you are saved. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Now, we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot, if for some reason, well, we know the reason, you cannot obtain access to your sanctuary, that's why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. So join us tomorrow evening at 9 for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting at 9 p.m. right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom with Sister Arsenius Jackson and One Touch Transformation. Now, we're going to give out our other call information a little later on. If you're listening via live stream, you may want to call in because you will be getting cut off soon. The numbers are 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. But I believe she said we have a caller on the line, and we want to get that caller on. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord, my sister. How are you?
Praise him, praise him.
I am just enjoying the show. It's like, I said, God has a way of locking the city down just to get our attention.
Amen.
And it just takes me back to Second Chronicles. If my people, which are called in my name, shall humble themselves.
Yeah,
I said, all we got to do is stand in one accord and pray. He's just trying to get our attention. And if we just humble ourselves, fall on our knees, and do what he wants us to do, everything will work itself out. Just put his blood on our doors and keep it moving.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
They want you to fear. They want you not to go to church. They want you not to tell the story. They want you to say, no, we need to get out and tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
I'm just like, okay, yo, you ain't win nothing because I still went to the store. I said, God,
see?
You know, to God be the glory.
I ain't stock up and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I got what I needed, and that was it.
You better stock up on some stuff because at one point, what's going to end up happening I thank you for calling too, because that's funny that you came on here and said that. Because I was that's a part of my take it back. You know, that's a part of my take it back, y'all. The idea is that we just want to do what we're going to do, regardless of what the people say. It's funny to me that we have that, you know. So that's that was my take it back, because, like the people said, if they want to cure the thing, everyone might have to stop for a few days so it can actually clean the air. But, you're not the only person that went to the supermarket, I'm sure. You know what I mean? There were people in the supermarket. I know, that's what I'm saying, I'm sure. There's a lot of other people that don't do it either. So.
Yeah, because the way I shop anyway, I always buy, I go to BJ's and I get cases of toilet paper, cases of this. I always keep water because I
like
to
drink water. Did you find toilet paper?
Yeah, I got a whole case of toilet paper, 96 rolls for $33.
Toy!
So you know what I'm saying?
Toy!
Right there at the market.
Yeah. Look, toy.
I got a whole case of paper towels for $32 in a roll for $19.99 2 months ago.
Everyone in the world probably is not privy to those deals.
But that's how I shop anyway. I always, because I'm not running out of papers. You know what I mean?
That's what the difference is. What she's saying is that's how she normally shops. For example, I tend to shop like that. It's certain things because I have a large family that I'm going to purchase them in bulk when I purchase them.
That's right,
but
I
had to laugh, but it's funny because I'm glad that you pushed one to talk. And ladies, if it's okay with you, we have been saying pray. And pray. Well, right this second, I got two members of the Mother's Board on the phone. Can we end tonight in prayer? I would really like us to pray for all first responders. I would like us to pray for doctors and nurses, because they really are putting their lives on the line for something that they do not completely understand. Like, it's one thing to treat the measles if we have a measles outbreak, because at least they know what it is and how to treat it. This is something new. They trying to figure it out as they go. We want to pray for people in general, those who have it and those who don't. So, if it's okay, we're going to do it like this. Now, Adrian, I know she's going to kill me because I'm going to put her on the spot. Adrian going to throw us a worship song. Then Sister Janice, you going to start it. Reverend Maureen, you going to jump in. And then I'm going to close us out. And then we're going to see y'all in 2 weeks. Amen.
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 I was a rush on God, living in a world of sin. I had no hope, no peace within. Somebody told me what Jesus did. Said he gave his life. He died for my sins. Now I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I'm glorified. In his holy name, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, right now. Because if you come to him, he'll make you clean. Come to him, he'll set you free. Where there's sadness, he'll give you joy. Where there's no hope, he'll give you joy. He will pick you up and turn you around. Place your feet on solid ground. Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Right now.
Oh, Father, we're starting to come to you, Lord, as some of us don't know how. Ask you, Lord Jesus, to spread your arms on this earth today, Lord Jesus. Touch your children, Lord Jesus. Heal them, Lord Jesus. Take the panic of fear away from them, Lord Jesus. Lord, let them know that you're on, Lord Jesus. Let them know that all they have to do is ask, and it shall be given, Lord Jesus. Let them know all they have to do is knock, and the door shall be open, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, spread your arms, Lord Jesus. Touch your children, Lord Jesus. Please, Jesus, touch them, Lord Jesus. And this here panic situation right now, Lord Jesus. Well, you know, Lord Jesus, there's nothing hard, too hard for you, Lord. And I'm asking you right now, Lord Jesus, down here on bending knees, Lord, asking you, Lord Jesus, cover us all in your blood, Lord Jesus. Keep us safe and sound, Lord Jesus, from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet, Lord Jesus. I just want to thank you. It is in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, that I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Lord God. We worship you, adore you, Lord God. If we said anything to offend you today, we ask you to forgive us, Lord God. Father God, we come into you right now with a prayer for healing for our first responders, Lord God. Heal our nation. Heal our land, Lord God. We need you as never before, Lord God. We need the wholeness, the wellness, the fullness, Lord God. Dear Lord, you're our Savior, our provider, Lord God. We ask in all these blessings, Lord God. We asking for you to just have the people humble themselves, Lord God, and just take it to the throne, Lord God. Father, you said if we don't ask you, it won't be done. So we ask it right now, Lord God. We're on one accord, Lord God. We just need a healing for the land, Lord God, from the president to to us, Lord God. Just touch us like never before, Lord God. Whatever your will be. Whatever your will be said, Lord God, let it be done, Lord God. We just asking right now, Lord God, just to hear from you, Lord God. If we don't hear from nobody else, Father God, you're the Alpha and Omega, you're the beginning and the end. Father God, we can do nothing without you, Lord God. You shut down the city for a reason, Father. Whatever the reason is, let your will be done, Lord God. Let your will be done, Lord God. And we forever honor the praise, give you the glory, the throne, and the power. From this day forth, Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. Hallelujah, God. We magnify you. Hallelujah, God. For you and you alone are God. Hallelujah. You are the creator. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the great potter, and we are your clay. We come before you this evening, Father, calling and trusting you on your word this evening, God. You said in your word, where two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing in your word, that you would be in the midst. You said in your word that whatever we loose on earth, you would loose in heaven, and whatever we would bound on earth, you would bound in heaven. You said in your word that whatever we asked in Jesus' name would be granted unto us. You said in your word that if we come with the faith the size of a mustard seed, we could tell mountains to move, and the mountains would have to move out of our way. We come today calling you on your word. You said in your word that you were bruised for our iniquity and wounded for our transgressions, and by your stripes we were healed. That's what you said in your word. So we are coming standing on your word this evening. We are coming calling you on your word this evening in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We are coming asking for a spirit of healing to be released in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We are asking that God, for you to use this opportunity to show up and show out as never before in the name of Jesus. Use this opportunity, God, to show them that there is still a true and living God sitting on the throne. Hallelujah, God. Use this to show the non-believers, God, that you are still the amen and the amen. Hallelujah, God. Use them this opportunity, Father God, to show them that you are the source of all life in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Use them to show that you are the source of all love in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Use this to draw souls unto you in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Use it to shock them as you shocked Nebuchadnezzar when you stepped into the fiery furnace. Use it to shock them as you shocked the king when you sealed the lion's mouths for Daniel. Use them to shock like you shocked the Pharaoh when you opened up the Red Sea for the children of Israel. Use them to shock like you shocked the Babylonians, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Use them like you did with Samson, God, when he slew the Philistines. Use them to shock like you did with David when he slew Goliath. Use them to shock like you did when you laid your life down on an old rugged cross and then laid in a grave for 3 days and three nights and then bust hell, death, and the grave wide open with all power in your hand. Use this to shock the nations in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Move by your might and by your power in the name of Jesus, God. Protect your people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let them see the host of guardian angels that you have around them right now in the name of Jesus, God. Yea, even those who have been diagnosed, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, use this opportunity as never before to reveal yourself in their lives in the name of Jesus. Touch leaderships all around the world, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We will forever give you the glory. We will forever give you the honor, and we will forever give you the praise. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, God. God bless you, and good night. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Jesus led.
Thank you, God.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.